Ante, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing
have you settled good. In yet? You know, have you got adjusted, or are you still kind of scrambling outside of the stadium?
No, I'm pretty much, you know, right now, all my focus is on work right now. So, you know, as far as living arrangements, I really haven't figured that out yet. But, you know, my whole focus is coming here to work and doing whatever I can to make sure that that I'm ready to go when Monday comes, and you know, hopefully after that, you know, we'll be ready to go and put together some good practices.
See, if I were you, what I would do is I'd call Brady and say, you know, Tom, you're not here. Give me the keys to your place. Let me stay there.
That's a good idea.
I hear he's got a nice place.
That's a good idea. I'm glad you put that in my head.
I'll take care. Make sure, you know, nobody breaks in. I'll
exactly.
be there.
Yeah, house sit.
Exactly. It's a good idea.
Now, have you had much time to look at the playbook? Because obviously this is your second tour here, but a lot of changes. Josh left, came back. Does the offense look a lot like the one you left? Similar? What's your reaction to the playbook?
There's a lot of familiarity in it. You know, the good thing is that you know, with Josh being back, he's bringing back some of the things that that he initially left with, and also adding in some things. And a lot of it is pretty much still the same. But I just, you know, it's been a while, so you know, like anything, you know, I just have to readjust myself to it. And and you know, that's another thing. Like I said, I've really been trying to focus on is you know, relearning the playbook, and so far so good.
Have you gained, because you've bounced around a little bit since you left here? You've been, you know, Cleveland, Baltimore, mm-hmm. Washington, so you've been in a lot of different schemes, quarterback. Have you gained any appreciation for the stability that's here and the offense and all that now that you're back a second time?
Yeah, because a couple of those places that I've been, you know, it's kind of changed throughout the course of maybe 3 or 4 years, but here it's pretty much been the same. Speaking offensively with Tommy, and you know, pretty much the same offensive system. So the stability here is, you know, it's pretty much been the same for a really long time. So you know, the good thing with that is that Josh, like I said, now that Josh is back, and a lot of the stuff is still the same. But at the same time, I'm still relearning everything over. So, you know, hopefully by the time we start training camp, I'll have everything in my mind and be ready to go, and, you know, look forward to a good camp.
Hindsight being 2020, would you have preferred to stay after 2007 as opposed to moving around like you did?
Yeah, I knew it was going to be a little difficult, you know, with all of the receivers that were here at the time. I knew Randy was on a 1-year deal, mm-hmm. and Wes was owed a lot of money. So the way my contract was that I was owed a lot of money, and the great thing about that was that I heard from Mr. Kraft, I heard from Belichick, and I heard from Pioli, and we all talked about it, and you know, they explained to me the situation. I knew the situation, and you know, there was no bad blood leaving at all. And you know, we played 2 years ago when I was in Baltimore. We played Kansas City in the playoffs, and you know, went up to Pioli, gave me a hug, and you know, it's, you know, so the like, you know, you spoke of it earlier. The stability here is has always been awesome. So there was no bad blood. there's no bad
That's
blood
all, folks.
At all.
No disrespect to the other quarterbacks you played with, but is Brady different? I mean, because I've called him like a coordinator on the field. He's almost like a coach in the field. Do you find that, you know, now that you've played with other quarterbacks and even before here, is he a little different from a mental standpoint?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, and like you said, no disrespect to the other quarterbacks, but Brady's one of the best players to ever play this game, not just quarterbacks. He's one of the best players to ever play this game. And you have a better appreciation for it when you actually play with him, and you can see how he operates in the huddle, even in the classroom, throughout the week. It's just amazing, and guys feed off of that. And you know, he's obviously a big part of the reason why they've been successful here, why we've been successful here, you know, over the past decade.
Where are you now physically? Obviously, you're getting older. kind of getting that.
Shh, don't tell anybody.
But I mean, you entered the league as like a 4.29 type guy.
4.19.
Oh, okay.
Whoa.
Sorry.
Whoa.
Sorry.
Whoa.
How
correction.
Come every time I bring up a 40, everybody is always lower?
That's our pride.
Will Allen,
right,
Will Allen said he was a 4.2.
Actually, it was 4.22. Right. Every one of you guys, you got that number in your head.
Yeah.
4.19. That's blazing.
Yeah, I'm not sure I buy it.
You're getting into like Bo Jackson territory there. I'm not sure I bought that. But
delayed start on the.
Yeah. His mom actually did
right.
The clock. So. Where are you now, though? I mean, do you still feel like you have those types of elite wheels, or have you maybe become a little bit more of a cerebral guy with your experience? Where are you in what you can bring to the field?
Yeah, I've definitely become more cerebral in, you know, just with understanding defenses and understanding certain coverages, what they're trying to do. You know, even certain situations. That's one thing that Bill always talks about is, you know, every game has its own game within the game. There's always different situations, and you know, understanding those situations, like what coordinators are trying to do to our offense, it's basically like a chess match. And I think you know, earlier in my career, I was mainly just playing off of talent, didn't really understand the defenses and the coverages and everything. But now that I've gotten older, you know, I've definitely have noticed that, you know, you try to break it down as simple as you can. When you're a young guy, you're just out there running around. You know, there's a story when I was my rookie year, I ran the wrong route and still scored a touchdown. It was like ridiculous. But now, you know, you understand certain things. Like I said, the different situations. I've definitely become a lot more cerebral in the game and understanding defenses. But you know, it's 10 years of the NFL. You know, I don't want to say my skills have diminished, but I'm not that 4.19 guy anymore.
If you ever were. Well, hey, look, he's 4.29.
Right.
I'll take it.
Right.
I'll take it. Are you the fastest guy on the team, you think? Can you still run that fast?
Oh, boy. I'm not sure.
Fast as you need to?
Yeah, I think as fast as I need to. You know, the last time I ran a 40 was for the Ravens when I was coming out on their turf, and I can't remember, it was like a high 4.3, something like that.
Well, if Ray was chasing you, then you know you could run a little faster. Right,
exactly.
But now speed, straight line speed, obviously is something you really have to exhibit, even at your position.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we remember about you in 2007 was yards after the catch.
Mm-hmm.
You were very good at shaking that first would-be tackler, maybe getting an extra 10, 15 yards. And another guy on this team who reminds me a little bit of you in that way is Aaron Hernandez, who has ridiculous – it's like I call him the Kevin McHale moves because people know it's coming,
right,
and they fall for it every time.
Right.
Do you still have that as part of your repertoire?
Yeah, I think so. You know, and that's something I've always taken pride in ever since I was liking Pop Warner. You know, it's interesting because people always – you know, talk about the speed. They always talk about the 4.19 speed, and
you talk about the 4.19.
At least you do. Pretty sure that's not what it said on Wikipedia.
That's hilarious.
You might want to go update that.
I know, right?
Exactly. I think we should change your number from 1.9
to 4.19.
4.19.
Oh man, no, but yeah, that's something that people always talk about is the speed, but. You know, one thing that I definitely take pride in is you know, running after the catch, and you know, I love to block. I mean, I just love playing football, and whatever it is, you know, whether if it's blocking or going down the field, short passes, turning them into long gains, whatever I can do to help, that's what I'm here for.
Now, one quick follow up on that: can you teach speed? Like, I know, like you can train to be a better sprinter,
mm-hmm,
right? So, but yards after the catch, just having that natural elusiveness, is that something that can be taught, or is that just a natural ability?
I don't know if it can be taught, but if this may not make much sense, I don't know if it can be taught, but it definitely can be learned. Because because over the years, there's been things that I'm a thief, so I steal people's, for example, you know, when we're out there running routes. Brandon Lloyd's so smooth, you know, the way he runs, and me, I'm always like thinking speed, speed, speed. But I see that sometimes a lot of the times when he runs his routes, he's real smooth.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I have to control my speed, you know, with certain routes and things like that. So I try to take, a lot from everybody's game, but there's a deal that I actually learned from Marshall Faulk. I probably won't. I won't really get it all.
You don't
the way
want to give it,
it
away right
exactly.
now.
Exactly, but yeah, I mean, I definitely think it can be learned because there's, like I said, I always try to learn from other people's games, and there's a couple things that I've taken from Marshall Faulk. Not by any means comparing myself to him at all with his running ability.
He actually ran a 4-1.
Exactly. Right.
Wow.
But I picked up a little bit from guys here and there, so I think it can be learned, but it's taking time, but also. The good Lord has blessed me to be able to, do the things that I do as well. So
it looks to be in a competitive camp at the wide receiver. How are you mentally preparing for that competition?
I think every year it's a competition, and especially for me, the last couple of years, that I've been in the league, I think, with a lot of the, guys that we have here, guys who've had a lot of success over their careers, guys who've been to Pro Bowls and things like that. I really don't look at it as a competition. I just know that being out there, those guys are going to make me better, and we're all going to make each other better. So as long as I'm, taking care of my body and making sure that I'm doing everything that I can, then, I think I'll be okay.
Have you been humbled by the game a little bit? Because you were a first-round pick. You've had big money contracts a couple different times. And then, as you said, the last couple years, you were kind of one-year deals, fighting for roster spots, jobs, mm-hmm. roles. Has that changed your attitude, humbled you a little bit maybe?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a humbling experience. Whether I think it is or not, it definitely has to be a humbling experience. Just for the simple fact you said, being a first round pick and then now really fighting for roster jobs. But at the same time too, it's something, like I said, I love playing football. So if anything, it's just made me that much more hungrier.
Can I ask you a question about you as a person and as it relates to your incident? Mm-hmm. I read that you decided that your lawyer said that you probably could have fought that and won, and you decided not to settle it out of court in a plea agreement. Talk about that and how that whole incident has changed you as a person, if it has.
Yeah, well, not to get too much into the legal details, but my lawyer, he felt like there was a really good opportunity with all the evidence and everything that happened to be able to fight it and to be able to win. But I didn't want to drag the family through that at all. And I didn't have any communication with them throughout the process. But one thing that really weighed heavily on my heart was the fact that the family had communicated through their lawyers to my lawyer that they appreciated the way I handled everything from me calling the 911 and from there on out, because at the time the media tried to portray me as another spoiled rich athlete gets in trouble and it doesn't care about anything. And, for them not knowing me as a person and just, obviously hearing all the stuff in the media, they didn't buy that at all. They actually looked at everything that happened. And, for me, that meant a lot. And I didn't want to drag them, through any unnecessary, pain that they were already dealing with. So, we worked things out and it's something that will always remain with me because of the fact that they did lose a family member, but at the same time they were able to see that I wasn't a bad person that the media was trying to portray me as, or that unfortunate situation wasn't the person that I was. So yeah. I definitely appreciated that from the family.
Well, I bring it up because a lot of people in your position of fame and fortune would have probably fought it. And you decided, so I just thought I just wanted to, bring that out and see, what you had to say about that.
You talk about the media portrayal, and you went through an incident like that. Now when you see other incidents, whether it's, the shooting in Florida or any of the, every night there's something on the news about sometimes celebrities, sometimes not. Do you look at those differently and try to say, well, there's two sides to that story, and I was there, and I know that it's not always how it looks on the 10 o'clock news.
Right, yeah, and honestly, it's I've never really been a judgmental person, but it's really made me become a lot less judgmental because of the situation that I was in with, being over the legal limit and Mr. Reyes losing his life, and I was behind the wheel. You know, people that don't understand, they see it black and white, and you know, obviously I was in the wrong, regardless of you know, the other evidence and, you know, everything else that happened. But yeah, I think there's always, you always have to look at it. There's two sides to every story, and like I said, it's really made me become less judgmental, and you know, things aren't always as they seem. But you know, any time there's a situation, it's always unfortunate to see you know, anyone you know, in trouble, or even in the unfortunate event of someone losing their life, you know, to someone who could have made a better decision. That's always heartbreaking for me to see.
Well, thank you for talking about that. Some fun stuff now. What's your favorite restaurant over at Patriot Place? I heard you talking up, I heard you talking up Patriot Place. So, like, where have you been so far? What do you like?
You know what? The only two that I've been, I'm a creature of habit. So, I've the only two I've been to have been Bar Louie with the guys after a workout. And that's more, obviously, it's more like snack food and things like that. But the food is pretty good there. And Davio's.
Oh, yeah.
Davio's.
Oh, yeah.
That place is
nice. And the service is unbelevable.
It is. It is. They were really nice. The first time I went, you know, I was, I didn't really have any clothes here. So I kind of went in there with you know,
your 4.19 shirt. Exactly. On.
Right. And, you know, and I walked in and everyone else is, you know, like dressed nice. And right. I'm like, oh man, I'm like, what am I doing in here? And, but no, they took care of me and, you know, they were really nice and it was good. And I'll definitely be going back throughout the season.
Hey, and you know what? Don't feel bad. Belichick walks into restaurants like that all the time with his hoodies.
And I know that you say you like going to movies.
Yes.
They have that Lux level at the theater where you sit up and you can eat. I tell you, it's worth the extra money.
Oh, yeah.
It really is.
It is. Yeah. And I actually went there a couple weeks ago and saw the movie Think Like a Man. My friend Gabrielle Union is in that movie, and Kevin Hart. Those two are well, Gabby's a good friend of mine. Kevin Hart is, I just kind of know him through being around. But, you know, that was a hilarious movie, and I'll definitely be going. That'll be my life over the next years. Football, dinner, movies, football.
If you hang out with Gerard Mayo, he's in movies now.
I've heard.
The Farrelly brothers are putting him in movies. I've heard. So, you know, hang out with him, make it
I've
a
heard,
heart,
yeah.
You know? All right.
What else have you been up to? Because I remember the first thing, you're kind of a Renaissance man. You like to learn languages and do different things. Well, this off season, what was your goal, or what have you been up to this off season?
Well, you know, I was actually I was taking Spanish lessons, and not just from Rosetta Stone this time. I actually had a real teacher, and I was taking private lessons. And you know, it's like anything else, man. Spanish is hard. If you don't consistently do it on a consistent basis, and if you're not putting in the time and the extra time, you're gonna have trouble. And that was something that I learned right away. And so I kind of had to approach it like it was football, meaning, you know, I had to put in the extra time, the extra hours. Even when my teacher would give me homework, I'd have to go back over it twice, two and three times, you know, kind of like watching film.
Yeah.
And, you know, so but the thing that kind of hampered me was I had to go home to California for like 2 weeks. So that kind of threw my Spanish off. But the good thing is that there's a lot of Spanish speaking people in California. So now anytime I go to a restaurant or a gas station or something like that, I'm speaking Spanish, or at least attempting to speak Spanish to everyone. And
all right, we'll go. I mean, we're global.
Well,
we have Spanish.
Oh, my spot now.
Say something
spot.
To your Spanish listeners right now. Go ahead.
Boy.
Yeah, we're all over the world.
Yeah, we're global.
you just noticed the mustache. Oh, didn't you?
Okay, talk about Tom Brady's funny mustache. Boy,
we've got a fat head of Brady on the wall over here, and we've got a fake mustache on him. He just noticed it.
Well, the thing I do is and it's funny because I don't get much further than this, but if I see someone of Spanish descent, I'll ask them "Tú hablas español?" And and so, you know, then we kind of—I don't want to say we start a conversation, but the things that my teacher was teaching me was things that I kind of needed to learn. So it was more of going to the store, buying groceries, buying things, And just speaking to people, asking them where you're from.
Functional stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
She wanted to get out of the classroom type.
You should set him up. We actually have on our website, patriots.com, we have Martin Morales, who covers the team and does things in Spanish. Yep. He did a lot with Hernandez last year, and maybe you could do a short interview with him, and he can ask you questions in Spanish.
Okay.
And don't worry, he'll track you down.
Okay. Yeah, he will find you. Anytime he finds out a player has any connection to Spanish, anything,
there it is.
He'll find you. So appreciate the hookup.
When we were thinking of going to China to play there, I started popping in CDs to learn Chinese. I said, nah. 2 weeks later, I'm like, I ain't doing this. First of all, like you said, you got to practice it. Yeah. Who around here am I going to do that with?
Because
it's one thing to do it yourself and just kind of repeat it. But then when you're talking to somebody, it just starts flying.
Exactly.
And you're like, whoa. It's like Adam Sandler. Learned, slow down.
Slow down.
All right, Dante, we know you got other things to do. We really appreciate you coming and spending some time with us.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, Dante Stallworth.
With that 40, by the way.
Let's take a break.
I'm going to go update that.
We'll be right back.